sing verse 1 of This Is My Father's World, and then we'll start Sunday school together. 1, 4, 7. This is my father's world.
This is my father's world.
All right. I think Pastor would be fine if I spend yet another week on this, but I'm not planning to. So we certainly could, but please feel free to talk to me after the class or any other time, or me or Pastor, about these things. This is kind of going to be where the rubber meets the road. Kind of lesson a little bit. And actually, so you have the new handout, but we did not quite finish the previous one. If you don't have it, let me know afterwards and I'll give you a filled in version. But we did not cover the last bullet of the previous one, which would be dated either 519, or you might have crossed it out and said 526. But it was Roman numeral 3, the purpose of the church, and A through J. And the last one we did not cover is letter J. It is to provide fellowship for believers. Let me find my place here. Okay, so, and that's just the last one on that page. You'll see on the new page we have two more purposes yet, but... And this is by no means comprehensive. We have quite a few points here of purposes for the church. There are more that can be added to this, but this is what we'll cover for the sake of this study. So letter J there is to provide fellowship for believers. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I'll read a couple of the other ones for you, but we're just going to read together Philippians chapter 2. Yeah, and we'll be starting at verse 1. But I have Acts 2:42 there. Of course, this is the very beginning of the church. We discussed that before. The church began at Pentecost. So in Acts 2:42 it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." And then in Philippians chapter 1, Paul talks about his thanks, making request for you with all joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. But then the chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, he says, the apostle Paul, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, then if any affection and mercy." I'm going to continue reading through verse 5 or almost. Okay, verse 2, "Fulfill ye my joy and being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own purposes or for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." And then verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus." And what Jesus did was he took on the form of a servant. So a very significant part of what fellowship is all about is looking unto the interests of others and being ready to share of our time and substance and concern for one another. And I got to tell you, I think Valley Baptist Church gets a red star or a gold star in that. In fact, I'm often convicted by how much all of you serve one another, minister to one another. It's like, okay, I need to do better. I need to be like some of these other folks. So anyways, it's a very strong suit, I think, of our church, and it's a blessing to be a part of that. So let's look, though. Turn, if you would. You're not too far away. Go back to 1 John. 1 John, well, I guess you're several books, but not many pages. 1 John, chapter 1, and I'm just going to skip to, there's a lot talking about fellowship there in verse 3, that you may also have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. But then verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So here, the focus of fellowship is to encourage one another to walk in the light. Okay, in obedience to the Lord, laying aside, as it were, our sin and living lives to please our Savior. That is an important focus of fellowship as well. And I have a whole list of responsibilities of Christian fellowship. We're going to skip that. It's not that it's not important, but we'll just skip it for now. So, any questions about the fellowship point? This is another purpose of the church, is fellowshipping with one another. And if not, let's go to the next page, the page you just had handed out this morning, which has today's date, 6/1/24, and the top still continuing here with the purpose of the church. We have two more to cover. And letter K there, it is to act as a preserving and enlightening force in the present world. Okay, turn, if you would, to, let's just go to Philippians. Let's back up again to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2 again. Huh. However, and while you're there, I'm going to read just, you're very familiar with the passage in Matthew chapter 5. That's the other reference I gave you. In the Sermon on the Mount, near the beginning of that sermon, Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. And it says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, you could argue, you know, we spent some time talking about when the church began and so forth. It's like the church had not actually begun at that point when Jesus was preaching the Sermon on the Mount. But he's talking about, in that sermon, about those who are blessed. Okay, blessed are these people. So, and in verse 10 there, he said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you, say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So Jesus, as God, certainly knew, as he looked forward, that these things would apply to the church. That we would be the lights, we should be lights, and so forth. But if there's any question at all whether it applies to the church, all we have to do is look at Philippians chapter 2, which I ask you to turn at, because Paul himself, speaking to the church in Philippi, says these things. In verse 14, he says, do all things without complaining and disputing. We all need to consider that. That wasn't planned to be a significant part of the lesson here, but just as I read it, it's like, oh, wow, that's something we should all consider. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Okay, so we are to act as preserving an enlightening force in the present world. You know, again, we can also complain about all that's going on around us. Sometimes we do. in terms of politically, where our nation's going and so forth. But again, we're responsible to be light and salt. That's our responsibility. So that's part of what another purpose of the church. And the last one that we'll cover here, letter L, it is to do good. G-O-O-D. It is to do good to fellow believers and to unbelievers. So turn to Galatians, if you would. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. I have 6:10 in your notes. I'm going to start in verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So again, the best way we can do that, to do good amongst those who are of the household of faith, is we are the household of faith. We gather together in this local body of believers so we can do good to one another. But it's not to stop there, because it says do good to all. And as a fellowship of believers, as a local body of believers, we can help one another to do that, to do good to others as well, outside of these walls, as it were. Okay, so that's the purpose of the church. What is L? 1? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L. So that was 12, a dozen. There are more, but that's your even dozen there of purposes of the church. Any questions or comments about that point, Roman numeral number 3? Huh? and hopefully it will fulfill that, right? Okay. All right. Okay, let's move along here. Roman numeral number 4. Activities of, and okay, let's see here. Okay, I shortened it a little in your version, I think. I'm sorry. You could put a caret there and add if you want, because actually I have in my version here, activities of and relationships within. Okay, so I didn't put and relationships within, but activities of and relationships within the context of the local church. Listed in Roman numeral 3, we talked about all the purposes of the church, are used of God to give more grace to Christians than would otherwise be available. Okay, so we need to realize, for one thing, letter A, in fact, the entire Christian life is provided and lived by grace. If it were not for God's grace, we wouldn't exist. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 5. Verses 10 to 12. Okay, it says, verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And then he says, by Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. We all know that, but it's nice to be reminded of it through Scripture, that it's by his grace that we stand. So But what do we mean that he can give more grace through some of these things? Well, letter B, let's look at that. It says, but believers who opt out, I just put that in quotes, opt out of these activities and relationships deprive themselves of the myriad means of grace God has provided to help them live the life of faith he desires for his glory. And let's turn to a passage that's probably familiar to many of you, but it's very applicable. So Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 24 and 25. Let us hold fast I'm going to start in verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he is who promised is faithful. And verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That would be the opt-out part. As is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So that verse, again, that kind of hits it directly. But again, all those purposes, or most of those purposes that we listed in Roman numeral number 3, they are means of grace that God wants to use. He's designed it that way to have the church, the universal church, the local church, to encourage one another, to where we can share grace with one another to grow in him. Okay, so any questions or comments of that? Yeah, Valerie. That's right. I think we'll be touching on that. We will as well. But excellent point. Excellent point. We need to. We are a body. We're members of a body, and so we need to work together. And if we set ourselves apart, just suppose my arm here were to say, "I'm going to stay at home." I don't need the rest of the body. I'm going to stay at home. Even worse, my leg. Okay, whatever. It's like that would make it difficult for my body to get here, to function. And we're all members of a body. So if we stay away, we're hindering the functioning of the body the way God would have it to be. Okay, excellent. Thanks, Valerie. Okay. All right. So let's proceed to the next point here, Roman numeral 5. Especially here in today's day, well, I don't know, maybe it's been common for decades or centuries, I don't know. But we have so many conveniences in today's day and here in America, freedom and independence and so forth, that a lot of people don't feel like they need the church, or they can have their home church kind of thing. And so here's the question, so Roman numeral 5, Scripture's reference to the church in the house of Aquila and Priscilla, your blanks there is does not, does in your first blank and not in the second blank, condone the concept of a home church. So let's see here. Yeah, go back to Romans, because it is here. It's in Scripture. It talks about a church in the house of, okay? Okay, Romans 16. Romans 16, verse 3. Paul, coming near the end of that epistle, he says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house." So you could jump on that and say, see, there's scriptural backing for a church in a house. But first, look at letter A. first note from that passage that Aquila and Priscilla, and likely also others in their church, it doesn't say specifically, but were a great blessing to, and you can quote, all the churches of the Gentiles. So the point there is they were by no means secluded to themselves. They had a church in their house, but they obviously were reaching out and connected with other churches, and they were a blessing to them. So they weren't just like off to themselves and not having interaction and fellowship with other churches. So that's a one point. And then your next bullet B, secondly, consider that Pastor Matt and Juanetta, they once had a church in their house. Okay? But it included others from outside their family, and the intent, that's the blank there, was always to establish a local body of believers at a location other than their home. Scripture doesn't reveal such, but Aquila and Priscilla might have had a similar goal. We're still talking the early days of the church, and I think in Acts also you'll see other places where it talks about they went from house to house, fellowshipping and so forth, but there are times when churches are very small, that they can be held in a house, but the purpose was never intended that it would stay there. It was just a means of building a church to the point that we had an autonomous church body outside of the home. Okay, I had not heard of such a thing, but that's what's important is that you have, again, we all know the church is not this building. I mean, we're just renting this building, but we do meet together on a regular basis and have that opportunity to fellowship. So even a church like that, if you want to call it a church, an association, a group of networked home churches that has pastors going around to check on them, I guess you'd have to consider, that's not the ideal, let me put it that way. I don't think that's the scriptural model that would be most effective. It would make it very hard to fulfill those kind of means if you're not meeting together on a regular basis like that. And then one more thing, that letter C, we kind of know this, we've talked about it several times, but Paul's epistles from Romans through Titus were written to local churches and or their pastors. So I just had this thought here. Related to that point, if we think about it from a practical perspective, think in those days, okay, these critical documents that Paul sent to these churches, he sent them there for teaching and training true believers in Christ, they would not have been available or not as readily available to, say, a home church at that time. So what would that have done in terms of their growth, their understanding of the gospel, and so forth? They would have, in a minimum, stunted that growth. And so if that would have been true then, is it really much different today? And one of the things I think we'll get to, when we talk about Ephesians chapter 4, part of the equipping of the saints and so forth is, as Denise pointed out, I didn't focus on that passage, we're talking about keeping ourselves from being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine and so forth. If we're not taught in a consistent way by a pastor who's leading the church, we can be led astray, or we can be left out of opportunities to learn good doctrine. So so there you go. We need to be very careful about that concept of a home church. It's not really biblically backed. Again, the model is to have us gather together on a regular basis, fellowship with one another, encourage one another, love one another, and have a structure of leadership and so forth. And we'll get to that a little bit now with the next point. Roman numeral 6, consideration of reasons for membership in a local church. We have the one aspect of fellowshipping amongst the local church, but then there's also the concept of membership. Okay, letter A, under that, it fosters a relationship of receiving support on the one hand. That's your first blank, receiving support on the one hand. I got three blanks for you on this one bullet. And of accountability, and providing ministry on the other. Okay, so turn if you would. Yeah, this is going to get into the point Valerie mentioned earlier. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Starting at verse 4. Paul, writing to the church in Rome, he says, "For we, as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." Then it goes on, talking about gifts. If we have gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry. Let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. And this is, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Then it goes down, verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Again, this is the point that we have an analogy here of the church being members of a body, that doesn't equate to membership in a church, but it applies. It fits. If we are truly members of a body, serving one another, ministering to one another, being kindly affectionate to one another, rejoicing with those who rejoice, weeping with those who weep, the step of membership in a church is just almost a natural extension of that, or a natural application of that. But it goes a little deeper. So look at, turn to the Ephesian passages, Ephesians 4, and I don't know if we'll be able to just stay there for the rest of this time, because we might refer to it again. Ephesians chapter 4. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't read through. By the way, Romans 12, 16 says, be of the same mind towards one another. That was an important part of that, too, as we're part of the body of Christ. It makes sense that let's be controlled by the same mind. Let's have the same mind. And let's just, for sake of time, Ephesians 4, in 11 it talks about, we've read this before, he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, some teachers, pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We talked about that as a purpose. And then so we come to a unity in the faith in verse 14. It talks about not being children tossed to and fro, carried with every wind of doctrine, so forth. But verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. All right, I need to go, for sake of time, and also to kind of continue on the point here, look at number one under that. It says, accountability applies among the members themselves, and we just kind of read those in verses in Romans 12 and Ephesians 4, but also between members and the pastor. Okay, members and the pastor or elder. Okay, you said, but okay, so yeah, we can't just stay there in Ephesians 4. Turn, if you would, to the next passage here, Hebrews 13, verse 17. I want to look at a couple of these passages and let's draw a practical application. Okay. Am I there? Yeah. Okay, 13, 17. I want to keep going to 7, too, which starts very similarly. Come on in. We're just finishing up Sunday school. Welcome. Okay, so accountability applies among members themselves and also between the members and the pastor. Look at Hebrews 13:17 there. It says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. That word there, it says, I think both the King James and the New King James says, who rule over you. It means to lead, to go before, to be a leader. It can, and implied under that is to rule or to command, to have authority over. So we are to obey those who rule or teach or lead us and be submissive. If you wish, you can turn to it, but I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13 that I have in your notes here. It says, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize, the King James says to know. The idea is, how does that put? I like in the definitions I have on my my dictionary, it says the last one, I think, fits. It actually relates verse 12, 1 Thessalonians 5:12 says to have regard for one, to cherish, to pay attention to. So that's kind of the idea of knowing, of recognizing those who labor among you. This would be in reference to the pastor, okay? But it says, and who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And the result of that, hopefully, will that they would be, the believers would be at peace among themselves. So there is a responsibility that we have to the pastor, okay, to being submissive, to having that rule. And then on the other hand, let's look at 1 Peter 5 I have there in your notes. 1 Peter 5. Verses 1 to 4. I'm just going to go ahead and read that section. The elders who are among you, I exhort, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God. This is speaking to the elders. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you. That's a heavy. We are entrusted to Pastor Matt. Okay, and he is responsible for our spiritual welfare. But being examples to the flock, and then when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. It says a very similar kind of thing in Acts chapter 20. So look at bullet number one under A there. Accountability applies among, that's what I just read. So letter bullet A under that. If a pastor, let's just consider this. If a pastor is accountable to God and the attendees of a local church for his over, I'm sorry, what I'm, if a pastor is accountable to God and attendees of a local church for his oversight of their souls, those are the two blanks there, his oversight of their souls, should not the attendees through membership be willing to be accountable to him? So the point is, if there's no membership, how is an elder or pastor to know whose souls he is to watch out for? Or looking at it from the other's perspective, if there's no membership, who is an individual to be accountable to? On the human level, we all know we're all accountable to God. But God has set up the structure of the local church with the leadership in that church to have us be accountable. But if you don't have membership, there's very little weight in that. And the final thing, we're just going to have to close up here. Letter B, another consideration for membership in a local church is it enables practical application of the principles of church discipline. We're not going to read those passages. There's too much there to read. Let me just hit a couple highlights. 1 Corinthians 5 talks about, you know, the sexual immorality there. He says, he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. And it ends in verse 13 saying, therefore put away from yourselves the evil person. Roman numeral number one there, or your last bullet. Without church membership, the concepts of putting away, or as 2 Thessalonians 3:14 says, don't not keep company with, individuals have little, if any, force. If everyone's just kind of floating around and no one's really accountable or responsible to others, how does that work practically? The church discipline as it's set up in Scripture. And there's also the Matthew 18 passage, which is familiar to most of you probably. So again, those are just some practical considerations for why membership has a place, why it's important for us to consider. I think the bottom line, single word, is accountability, both ways, the pastor to the members and the members to the pastor. All right, there we go. I pushed it to the end. Any closing comments? All right, I'll close in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for guiding us through these 6 weeks of this study on ecclesiology and the church, and we pray that these things even that we covered today would be an encouragement to us, that the purposes finishing up, thinking about fellowship and being a light and salt, preserving force, and so forth. And then the fact that, again, the means of grace that you provide through the local body of believers to help build us up and help us to grow and be sound in our faith. We pray that you'd just help us to apply these things, that as we go forth and we consider all that's going on with the building project and so forth, oh, help us to keep these things in mind and to keep you in focus and to rightly apply your word to our local body of believers. And we pray now for your blessing upon the time we'll have in worship. Be with Pastor as he brings your word. Be with us as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. And might all be done for your honor and glory, to please you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.